folks. We're going to talk a little bit more about vines and branches, though. So stay tuned, you grapes. I love this teaching from Jesus. It's beautiful in its simplicity. And I am one who needs simplicity. Thank you, Reg. We're in the season of Epiphany, Epiphanos, manifestation. We are celebrating Christ as the manifestation of God in our world. We come to this naturally in the cycle of the church year, right out of the Nativity. We come into this season of Epiphaneia, revealing the awakening, the aha, this is what God is up to, embodied in Christ, there for us all to see. And we start with Jesus' baptism, as we started with our own thanksgiving for baptism this morning. It's the inauguration of his ministry, and it is the inauguration of our own. And then we move into his invitation, his calling, follow me. We talked a lot last week about following, about being the disciples, the methetes of God, the ones who are going along with, seeing and doing and learning on the move, living into the teachings of the teacher. That's what it means to be a disciple, a methetes. And today, Jesus takes us to the heart of what it means to be followers, to be disciples. We have this wonderful analogy that he gives us. He teaches a lot using images that resonate with people. Have you noticed that? Images that touch ground in their own lives, in their daily living. Simple, but really deeply meaningful and granular in their lives. With hungry people, you'll notice that a lot of times he talks about marriage banquets and feasts. You want the attention of hungry people? Talk to them about food. Spiritually hungry people, physically hungry people. He uses analogies about the kingdom of heaven as being a marriage feast. He uses images of sheep and goats with people who make their livelihood tending flocks and herds. It's a daily lived reality for them. They know more about it than he does. And yet he's able to reach into that lived experience by using analogies and symbols that are rich in their own experience. People of the land, he talks about seeds and sowing and harvesting, planting and reaping, about good soil and stony ground. This is where they live. This is their daily truck in life. And so he uses those elements to bring these points to light, these things that God wants him to reveal. It's part of the storytelling culture. He grows up in it. He's steeped in it. Not only is it a tradition in Hebrew culture, it's a tradition in the world that surrounds him. It's a tradition in the Roman world as well. Rhetoric and storytelling are prized as forms of entertainment. And him growing up in and around Sepphoris, just a stone's throw from, spitting distance from Nazareth, he comes by this honestly. He knows the power of story to communicate deep truths. And he knows that the elements of those stories, the best stories, are elements that connect in people's life. He grew up on this imagery. He grew up hearing things like we heard in Hosea's prophecy today. His shoots, God's shoots, shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive tree, and his fragrance like that of Lebanon, smelling the wind through the cedars. Maybe that's not such an attractive image in Central Texas, but cedar smells good, regardless of its impact on our soft tissue. They shall again live beneath my shadow, in the shadow of God's embrace. They shall flourish as a garden. They shall blossom like the vine. Their fragrance shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Beautiful imagery, an imagery that surrounds these people in their daily lives all the time. They smell this on the breeze. This is a venting culture. And there are images that actually work pretty well around here too. Palestine has a lot in common with our locale. Palestine is 32 degrees north latitude, Austin is 30 degrees north latitude. Now, a degree can make some difference, but spitting distance, as we say around here, right? Close enough that we're on a horizontal with Palestine, with the Levant. We see hill country there. We don't have a coastal plain until you get further south, and we don't have some of the rocky elevations until you get further west. But for all practical purposes, we're talking about the same kind of geography. Rainfall a little less in Palestine. 34 inches in Austin, 24 inches annually in Jerusalem. So we're on par with them. Their geolocale is very similar to our own. So these images resonate. I drive past a maturing olive orchard each time I make my way between church and home. And I see the hill country covered with flocks of goats. Goats all over the place. And I see other resonant images. Grapes. You seen any vineyards or wineries around here at all? You talk about a proliferation, my Lord, in the time that we've been here. And really, in the last 5 to 10 years, an explosion. People are growing grapes everywhere. Texas wine is making its way around the world, becoming notorious in its own right, well-favored in a lot of competitions. So much of the imagery that resonates with the people of Palestine resonates right here at home with us. It's a marvelous continuity that we have. So when Jesus starts talking about vines and vine dressing and bearing fruit, it's something we see around us quite a lot. Only this time, like he does with all of the traditions and the practical experiences of people, he takes it to an underlying, deeper level. He appropriates these daily images, and he takes them to a new level of meaning, a new depth for us. He says, I am the vine. And we know what that means. He says, you and I are the branches. We are the flourishing of this vine in the midst of the world. And he says, my Father is the vine dresser, because all vines need tending. All vines produce better. We have master gardeners in our midst. They know this as well as anyone. All things do better when tended and blessed. And he uses the hard imagery of pruning, of cutting away waste and dross, cutting away what is not productive, so that new growth can come, and so that what is there that is green and vital can flourish and produce fruit. It's all about bearing fruit, and it's all about being rooted in God. He gives us in this simple, beautiful, agrarian form a wonderful image of where we are in God's great scheme of things, and how vital we are to what God has promised and what God is seeking to fulfill. Nothing less than the kingdom of heaven. This is our invitation. This is our way of being a part. And our part to play is as vital as any other. A vine without branches cannot bear fruit. And fruit does not spontaneously grow without a vine. And nothing happens unless it's rooted in the source. So thinking and meditating on this, as we drive by and see vineyards, as we visit wineries and celebrate the fruit of the vine, we have an opportunity to think about this in somewhat deeper terms as people of faith, and to think about the calling on our lives that God has issued in Christ. What's revealed in the process is really something pretty remarkable, I think. For all of the things that Jesus doesn't ask us to do, for all of the things that Jesus doesn't command us, and we talked a little bit about this last time. It's not a negative theology, it's just a realization that sometimes we may put too much responsibility on ourselves. The church has a Messiah. It does not need any more. This Messiah has been martyred, and the church, blessed by God's grace, will not produce any more martyrs to this cause of faith that we're called to. In all the things that Jesus says, he invites us only to do one thing, and that's to follow. So now with this deeper sense of that invitation, we begin to understand what it means to follow. And the vital piece of this that escaped me for a long, long time is not that I single-handedly have to churn out clusters of grapes and be fruitful for the kingdom. My calling, my job, is to stay connected to the vine and not let anything separate me from that. Paul says this beautifully. He talks about all of the things, powers and principalities and wealth and danger and evil and wickedness and lassitude and laziness and all of the things that attend life. He says, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Again, stay connected to that love. Stay connected to that vine. The only ones who can disconnect us from that vine, us, to let go, to dismiss, to disregard, to not hold to that way and truth and life that we see in Christ and figure we'll just kind of work it out on our own. Jesus' invitation is an invitation of love. Stay connected to the vine, connected to me, like maturing olive trees, like flocks of goats on the hillside, like rich clusters of grapes. Kingdom of Heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. A man planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a pit for the wine press, and built a watchtower, and then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. Jesus' teaching is full of vine and venting and vineyard images. And it's critical that we see our place in this grand scheme. Abide in me, he says, as I abide in you. It's not a command. It's not an or else. It's a gift and an invitation to true life, to be our true selves in the one who gives us life. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. It's about living faithfully every day, this staying connected business. And it's about opening ourselves up to the work and the tending of the vine dresser. It's a loving invitation to know ourselves in Christ. Amen.